Blog Talk Radio.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but your credit card has been
declined. Your unemployment benefits ran out 2 weeks ago.
What do you mean I'm overdrawn?
2 weeks ago.
I still have checks left.
Two weeks ago.
Too much month left over at the end of the money? Bad credit holding you back? Want to become a real estate investor but haven't won the lottery? Learn how to fix your credit. Get out of debt and build true financial independence with real estate in 2 hours a week. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She'll show you how, without winning the lottery or working 10 jobs. And here's your host, Heather Wagenhall.
Oh, I want to be your invitation. Oh, I want to be your
cat. Oh, you are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. Oh, I am so excited about today's show. For those of you who have subscribed to the electronic magazine, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then I'll have to let the rest of you in. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Heather Wagenhals, and you're listening to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And for this fabulous Saturday, March 19th, 2011, we are broadcasting live from the HQ Real Estate and Investment Offices right here in sunny Scottsdale, Arizona. And for all you spring breakers that are giving up your Saturday, thanks so much for joining us. For those of you who are new to the broadcast, welcome. And this Saturday, like every Saturday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, we broadcast the Unlock Your Wealth radio program and talk about crisis management and financial wellness tools designed to help everyone, man, woman, and child alike, manage their finances and attitudes to create immediate financial wellness today and begin the path to financial freedom for you and your family tomorrow and for the future. And we do this each and every week, 1 week at a time, one key from our Keys to Riches Financial Wellness series at a time. And I can't believe how this year has flown by, because it's we're two keys away, like this week and then next week, and then we're done. The season, the new season, season 9, begins in just a couple of weeks. We are almost done with the first financial quarter of the year, essentially. So for those of you who have been listening since the beginning of the year and employing our keys and all of our techniques, how's it been going for you? Are you pretty excited? Because today is a big key. It's an important key, because this is where the rubber meets the road when it comes to failing diets and failing budgets. So for those that have been listening, when we did our Break the Budget key a few weeks ago, we took and decided that budgets, like diets, are out. And just like when we live and want to create health, we create a healthy exercise and eating plan that's a lifestyle, not just a diet or something that we go on to and off of. And here, with our budgeting in the financial life, we break the budget. We say no more, because we go on to and off of them, and all they do is disrupt our lives. And when we come off of them, it's just like a diet. We wind up having more weight. We have more debt after we budget. So instead, we create a healthy savings and spending plan. And this week's key is what will make that savings and spending plan work for the rest of your life. That's how important this key is. Because this is the reason why diets and budgets fail. So if you are wondering, okay, I started at the beginning of the season, I've got everything in line, and I hope that Heather's right. I hope what she says is true, that I will have a chance for financial independence, but I'm not sure. If you were asking those questions or nervous about what we've been doing so far for the last almost 90 days, never fear, because the keys to riches are here. So in the second hour today, we are going to go over practicing the three R's, okay? And that's not reading, writing, and arithmetic. No, no, no. The three R's are an essential component to successfully breaking the budget and creating a healthy savings and spending plan. And so we're going to go through that in the second hour and use this tool to always have a sound savings and spending plan, one that works with you, not against you, and one that always works because it changes as you and your financial needs change. And that's what's so spectacular. So we'll be practicing the three R's in the second hour. Totally stoked about that. In the first hour, we have so many great things. Just I can't even begin to tell you because I'm so excited about it. We have some interesting news in our minutes on your money. We have a great millionaire minute as we talk about our millionaire focus strategy for this week and how we wrapped up part two of our multi-part series on personal power this week for our Tuesday show, Unlock Your Wealth Radio to Go. And then, gosh, this is something that I'm so excited about. And I'm usually not nervous about guests. You know, I've been doing this for years. They're just people. There's no reason to be threatened or intimidated or scared by any stretch of the imagination. They wake up and put their pants on one leg at a time, just like we do. And for those of you that have been with us, when I have the privilege of interviewing Nathaniel Brandon kicking off season, what was that, season six, seven? I don't know. We've done so many shows. We're well over 200 shows already. I can't believe it. We missed it because we didn't count right to celebrate our 200th episode. But when I got to interview Ayn Rand's intellectual heir, Nathaniel Brandon, I thought that that was the most incredible moment in my life. And, oh, by the way, we have a release date for Atlas Shrugged Part 1, and we'll talk about that, too, because I've got some interesting opinions about that. And so I'm kind of a little bit nervous about this guest, because this guest, since I can remember, has been on television telling me he has the answer. And let's just talk about parental influence and conditioning. What a chicken I was, because I never took advantage of his stuff. But after I talked to him today, I'm going to muster the courage to go on and find out how government programs can benefit me as a minority woman business owner. So the man I'm talking about is the crazy guy that you have seen commercials for with the loud suits with question marks all over him. And that would be Matthew Lesko. And I'm kind of nervous because I'm embarrassed a little bit because of all of the conditioning I received when I was younger that I never overcame that to order his products. And if the government is giving away free money, and see, this is part of a conflict I have because I don't really believe in big government. And I'm upset that, you know, we're doing this big wage redistribution of wealth and all of that good stuff. But there's the other hand saying, am I being foolish by not taking advantage of these government programs? I mean, I've already paid the money. So technically, if I go after a government program, I'm getting the money back, right? I'm getting my money back. So I don't know why I haven't, you know. And here's something that's so interesting. And, you know, some people are not really afraid of failing. They're more afraid of success because what does that mean to them? So when you have success, now there's an expectation. There's a bar that has been set that people expect you to continually achieve that as your minimum. So perhaps it was about a minimum set point. I don't know. I've got all these issues that I'm talking to you about this today. You're going, what? Oh, my gosh, I can't believe Heather's admitting this on the air, but I am. Because this guy, like, could have, like, helped propel me even further. So I do believe, though, in serendipity, and perhaps the reason why I never took advantage of his materials in the past is that I may not have had the path that I'm on, and I might not be able to get to meet him ever. So I get to meet him today. So I'm totally stoked that Matthew Lesko is going to be on the show. And when I talk about immediate financial wellness, wouldn't it be super savvy if I could bring you a guest that could totally line your pockets with money to achieve your dreams that you've been afraid to, or you've tried and failed because you couldn't borrow the money to accomplish that? So I'm totally stoked about that. So he's going to be on the show today, and I'm pretty excited because it's like, oh, my gosh, this is like a big dude. So I'm thrilled about that. Now, I mentioned something to you a moment ago about being excited about the show, and those who subscribe to the Easy know what I'm talking about. And for those of you that are new to the show, you are completely missing out on your financial literacy education by not subscribing to A, our website, and B, our electronic newsletter. They go hand in hand. If you visit our website at www.unlockyourwealth.com, you can sign up for our electronic magazine that gets delivered weekly to your inbox. Elena DeFiore, our illustrious program director, who is also, by the way, our chat room moderator today, and she does everything show-related. She also has time in her busy schedule to crank out a quality e-zine each and every week, filled with news, tips, tricks, and information, links to our blog, links about our current show guests that we have featured, all of the new products and services that we have available to help you get on your way to financial independence. So our website is a toolbox of financial tools to help you get your money mind right so your wallet will follow. And one of the cool things about our electronic magazine is subscribers to the electronic magazine and members of our website that claim their key membership, which is at no charge to you, one of the cool things is that you get the trivia question before everyone else does. And you're saying, well, and why is that important? Well, simply because you can win fabulous prizes. And we are so excited because we gave away a book 2 weeks ago. Our trivia question winner was from Australia. So we didn't even know how to send packages to Australia. We're like, well, I guess that's international shipping. And we were so stoked that we actually got to learn how to ship something internationally to our listeners in Australia. So this is the value because we didn't, no charge. And they received a brand new copy of my Bushido Business book. So for those of you who are interested in winning fabulous prizes like autographed books, either from myself or previous show guests, well, you've got to be able to answer the trivia question. Now, the subscribers to the electronic magazine actually receive the trivia question before everyone else does because Elena doesn't put it on our website until the actual show. The benefit for regular listeners, if you're a first-timer and are interested in like the information you're hearing and become a regular listener, what's so great is that we always base our trivia questions on a previous show. So in order to win the trivia question, you can win three ways. We are completely covered technologically. So you can chat in to win. If you were listening from our blogtalkradio.com show page, you can win from there by simply popping in the chat room and sharing your potential right answer with Elena. You can call in to win. Our show number is 1-718-508-9002. Or you can email us to win. If you're driving around and unable to call in or chat in, There's always email. Get out that Crackberry and type out trivia at uiwradio.com and tell me what you think the answer for this week's trivia question is. If you select one of my books, you can, any previous show guest that hasn't been, the book hasn't been selected from our library of previous show guests, you're welcome to that book. Or you can win a book that I authored. And if you select one of those, I will personalize it to you or someone you would like the book to go to. So in order to win, call in, chat in, or email in to win. This week's trivia question is from the Midweek Update. On Wednesday, we talked about ways to make do-it-yourself versions of name brand cleaning projects. If you name one of those recipes or one of those ingredients, and there are several ingredients overlapped, so that's a little hint. So if you just name one of those, that's all I care about. So all you have to do is call in, chat in, or email in to win. I'm so excited. We have so much more in store coming up. Plus, I'm so excited I get to chat with Mr. Matthew Lesko. You're listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your purveyor of prosperity, saying stay tuned. We've got more. And Matthew Lesko up next.
Close more sales. Close more sales. Close more sales. Hi, this is Commander Marty Logan from the Top Gun Sales Academy.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the Hit.
Close more sales. Close more sales. Close more sales. Hi, this is Commander Marty Logan from the Top Gun Sales Academy. Are you the best salesperson you can be today? If not, allow us to help you to outpace your competition, your fellow peers, and recession-proof your business. Visit us at www.thetopgunseminars.com, 480-626-5883. Don't make excuses. Make it happen. Close more sales. Close more sales. Close more sales. Hi, this is Commander Marty Logan from the Top Gun Sales Academy. Are you the best salesperson you can be today? If not, allow us to help you to outpace your competition, your fellow peers, and recession-proof your business. Visit us at www.thetopgunseminars.com, 480-626-5883. Don't make excuses. Make it happen.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coca Brown, on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K-Free Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally!
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to a very jittery, over-caffeined Heather Wagenhals. And I'm pushing all kind of buttons that I shouldn't be pushing. And making my program director very mad at me. So forgive me for all of that, my friends, but never fear. Matthew Lesko is here, and I can't, again, begin to tell you how excited I am to have him on the show, because no one has done more to educate the American public about available government money programs than Matthew Lesko. Over 30 years ago, as an ex-naval armed officer, only having an MBA in computer information systems, only, as I say that with tongue-in-cheek, Matthew started with just one phone and a desk in a one-bedroom apartment, and before you know it, he had over 30 employees in a big office on K Street in downtown Washington, D.C. How exciting is this? A rags-to-riches story himself. Lesko's brainstorm was showing Fortune 500 executives how to take advantage of little-known government programs. These business leaders didn't care how much the information cost because they were using this information to turn it into millions of dollars for resources for their businesses. Now, after a few years, and this kind of sounds like my story when I was a stockbroker, Lesko got bored helping the rich get richer. And he thought, why don't average people know about all this free money and help from government programs? So that was the turning point, and he concentrated on getting this information out to the average American. I'm saving his story for him to tell himself, but he has authored over 100 books, became a New York Times bestseller, won awards for Best Reference Book of the Year. He's a columnist for the New York Times Syndicate, Good Housekeeping Magazine, Chicago Tribune, and a litany of others. He's appeared on hundreds of radio and television shows, including The Today Show, Larry King, Letterman, Leno, Good Morning America, and the illustrious Oprah. With his altruistic exuberance and enthusiasm, Lesko became a favorite guest on Letterman and Larry King, especially when a big star would cancel. He was the go-to guy. And Lesko's TV time consists mainly of his crazy off-the-wall commercials. And he is ranked among the top 10 most recognized infomercial personalities. And I am so excited to bring him to the Unlock Your Wealth radio program today. Matthew, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, God, I just heard my whole history there. You did your homework.
Well, I'm doing my best. Actually, I have been, and I shared a little bit of this in the intro with our listeners. I'm almost a bit embarrassed because I have been watching you since I was a kid. So this past 30 years, I'm 41 now, I've been watching your commercials, and I've always wanted to pick up the phone and order, but talk about the power of parental influence. And she, my mother was like, there's no such thing as free money. Don't even waste your time on that guy. And I'm like, well, he must be doing something right because you can't buy commercials and run expensive TV commercials, Mom, if he's not making money doing something.
Now, if you see the commercial, you know it's working. And if you don't see it, then it's not working anymore.
Oh, I know. Let me just tell you, in personal conversations with friends about, oh, what are you up to this week? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is probably one of the coolest people I've ever gotten to meet. And I'm putting you in the ranks of Ayn Rand's intellectual heir because – there have been two guests that I've had on this show that I was kind of nervous and excited about at the same time. And Nathaniel Brandon was one because Atlas Shrugged is one of my favorite books.
Yeah.
And you, I'm so excited to be talking with you.
Well, that's kind of you. It's just me. Just struggling through life like most people. Yeah.
You know, my fashion sense came from you because I thought, you know what, I'm going to wear crazy clothes. And
I
kind of took that lead.
Yeah. Well, that's probably the greatest thing I did for myself in life is starting to wear a question mark suit. And I just started that maybe 10 years ago or something like that. You know, but I wish I did it 40 or 50 years ago. It was something that I really had inside me. I always wanted to do it and didn't have the nerve, tell you the truth, until I got in my 50s to do it. And that changed my life more than money, more than anything else. I mean, even if people don't know me, from commercials and everything. I walk into a room, I walk anywhere, and people just smile. They're smiling at me. I mean, people just come up and talk to me for no. I travel every day, and I have one now. It's Saturday. I'm about to go on a bike ride, but I got question marks on. My cars have question marks on. And it has nothing to do with my business. I mean, that's what's interesting. So I like when people don't know me from my commercials because they think it's some big, you know, marketing branding thing. And actually,
it's
had
your personality, I think, because
it's just
so
me inside.
Exuberant.
I mean, to me, what life has been after all the failures and before I was 30, I had a couple of businesses that failed and everything. Trying to get then my thing was, well, God, I'm going to fail anyway. You know, that's what happens. But how do you have fun at doing that? And then when I start having fun, then things change. You know, then you're different. You know, if you're thinking more with your heart than your head, that's when you're different. You know, and that's when you can contribute something to the world because we don't need the same old thing. And that's a problem to me with get rich stuff and all this thing. They're trying to copy somebody else's formula, you know, and Christ, that sounds boring to me. And plus, that's not a big contribution also to the world. And you know, so we already have one of those. What the hell, we need more? You know, and you're
exactly
different. We're all different. We're all unique, you know. And so how do we tap in that stuff that's really unique for us so that we contribute something unique to the world?
Well, and I love that about your style and your energy. And, you know, after today, I said, I'm going to have the courage because I'm going to get to meet you and talk to you today. And so now I'm going to order your book. I'm going to go online. I'm going to find a way.
I don't have books
features
anymore. But
no more books?
No, I'm all online. I mean, books are passe, I think, particularly reference books. You know, and for the last 3 years now, I've just been developing a website and, you know, because then I can make it as big as possible. My books were always huge and people complained, so now you don't have to read a whole book, you know. I mean, I think books, like people, you know, buy diet books and still get fat. You know, people buy my books, you know. And it takes work. So now you can just go to the website. Oh, here's the one thing. But more importantly, got free stuff. You know, I mean, I go around and video people. Government officials are giving out the money, so you don't have to trust me as a huckster, you know, trying to convince you this stuff is there. Mm-hmm. You can see a 30-minute video of a government official tell you how do you get $8,000 to train for something new you want to do in life, you know. Or how, like, there's a neat program for business that they'll, for $350, they'll find you somebody in any country to sell your goods and services for you. I mean, they check out their background. This is somebody from the embassy going out and qualifying somebody to sell your product or service in that country. I mean, to me, that's
I can employ the embassy?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
all it is. You know, you go online and look for a consultant to do this, they're going to charge you tens of thousands of dollars, you know, to do this. And that's what frustrates me is that people have roadblocks, you know, doing things in life when they don't have to because – you know, all we know is how to spend money. We need help. We got to write a business plan. We go hire an accountant, a lawyer, whatever. Man, you know, I mean, the offices, there's like 3,000 offices around the country. They'll help you do business plans for free. And these are experts. People do it all the time, you know, to help you for free. So why pay, you know, when you can get it for free?
Exactly. Now, here's my question.
Uh-huh.
What led you to finding out, were you in search of funding for another business? How did you even get on this money information?
I was just shocked it was there. You know, I was helping Fortune. I had a consulting firm down on K Street in Washington and helping Fortune 500 companies. And I was shocked about all this stuff. And I didn't know. I just wanted to get paid as a consultant. I'd find anything you want, you know. And so these were like mergers and acquisitions people want to get in the pasta business or something like that. And I said, well, can we get money and help to start a pasta business, you know? And so I'd find, you know, money programs for Procter & Gamble to start pasta businesses, you know, and free market studies for this and everything. It was all free, and I was getting this stuff. And you see, nothing in the government is copyrighted. So I'd take this stuff and take the government's name off of it and put my name on it and sell it to these people for tens of thousands of dollars, you know. And it shocked me that a kid from Wilkes-Barre like me could do that, you know, and that these people were making big money doing it. And I said, God, why didn't everybody do that? You know, why didn't everybody
Well, without the information superhighway 30 years ago, how were you finding this stuff? Through libraries or visiting the government offices themselves?
Yes, either that. I'm telling you the truth, most of it's phone. You know, I still think a lot of it's still phone. But what's nice about the web is that it tells you where to start. You know, but I used to go to libraries. I mean, I actually used to sit in my one-bedroom apartment with the U.S. government manual, and I'd look in the index of all the agencies. Now, you know, like I remember doing trying to get money for somebody to start a barbecue utensil business. You know, I said, now who the heck would have barbecue information to help a barbecue utensils? You know, and I just go down the list of agencies and make a half a dozen or a dozen phone calls till I found somebody. You know. Sort of like investigative reporting, the same kind of skills. And I still think they're the best skills. I mean, that's why people, you know, and young people are so web-oriented, can find on the web. The web is just a start, man, because you don't know what's good or bad. I mean, look, you go on the web now, like say you want to find a grant, you know. So you put in business, a grant for your business, and you'll literally get like 50 million websites. What the hell are you going to do with 50 million websites? Yeah. And most
of
those
websites.
Well,
you got to sort the wheat from the chaff. Where do you start?
Yeah, you're not going to live long enough. So you'll go through the first couple of pages, and most of the people on the first couple of pages are people selling you something. You know, people like me. Because they know you're looking for that. So the good stuff that people that give away free don't have marketing money to make sure that they're on the first couple pages. So you're not going to find them. But people in the business, people who know that industry, people know that, know what they are. So that's why talking to people will get you to the best website sometimes faster or be able to help you whittle through those 50 million websites you got. You don't know what is good or bad. So people to me are still very, very important to cut through that. Because to me, no matter how much work Google puts into it, these search engines are really good for quantity and not quality. You know, they say they try to handle quality better and better, and it's probably getting a little better, but it's still an issue. So that's why I think that's where people come in. You hear my dog?
I agree with you. I do. I've been waiting for mine to chime in. The funny thing that's interesting to me is the young people today. And so I've got kids that work for me, and even though I've never bore a child myself personally, I have a stepchild, but I've never borne a child and gone through like all of that stuff. But
well,
I'm old
by,
enough
my wife
to be has. Their mother. And it's amazing to me that they will text, they will email, they will do everything they can. They'll Google search it. But it's like they're allergic to the phone.
Yeah.
Like they don't know how to do that.
Exactly. And they don't answer the phone even when you call them.
I know. Oh, I never check voicemail. Yeah. Right. I'm so lucky that my program director is tech savvy and she has Google Voice, so when I leave her a voicemail, it gets transcribed, so I know she gets it.
I see. Oh, that's cool.
She can read it and respond to me.
So that's
so
a young person
that.
Doing your programming? I mean?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah,
and,
well, I think
you know,
the young people are the future, though. See, I mean, to me, they're the people you got to
hang out
to.
But that's what scares me about that.
Yeah,
I've got to trust my golden years to these guys.
Oh, good,
and
good
it
or
makes
bad,
me a
but
little
that's
nervous.
Where it's going. Yeah. But more importantly, I mean, they're not stupid, you know. I mean, they'd use a phone if it's valuable or whatever. But they, to me, what's important about young people is they have a sense of where the future's going. And you and I mean, even me, I'm in my 60s. I think I could be here 20, 30 more years. So I'm worried about what's going to be happening going in the next 20, 30 years. And your program director, I think, even, you know, has a better sense of that than you at 40 or me at 60. Because they have no luggage they're carrying around. They're all just looking in the future. What's going on? Where are the opportunities? What, you know, what is? And they're using the best they can to get there. You and I are using our old skills, you know, how we leverage what we've learned to do and been successful at to do it in the new world. And the new world is really different. We have to almost bury all that old stuff.
Yeah, it's really kind of funny how they're so much different than you or I. And I am optimistic because some of them are sharp as a tack. But you know what I find interesting is my two star girls have both attended ASU. And when you talk about the internet being the start, ASU will not allow you to quote Wikipedia.
Oh, wow.
As a reference for your papers because of the quality, you know, you just don't know about the quality of the reference material, and I think that that's such a valid point. So
it is. I mean, but it's good and bad. You know, I mean, it's sort of, but, you know that 90% of the people making 90% of the answers on that, you know. You know, that's the first thing that pops up, so that's what people use, you know, as a reference source. I mean, just think when, at least when I was young, you used to have Frommer's Guide, right?
The Frommer's.
Yeah, remember that? You know, the when
oh,
you
yeah.
traveled? Now
oh,
now
yeah.
you have Joe, you know, who gives you a review on Travelocity or whatever the hell, or Yelp, and that's what we, you know, use. I mean, we're trusting Joe more than some guy with a PhD at Harvard, you know. And there's good and bad of everything, you know. I mean, that's some bad parts, but it's probably, you know, some good parts too.
I remember you just totally struck a chord with me. One of the first computer games I got in the late 80s was Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Oh,
and you totally needed, you had to have a Frommer's in order to.
Oh, I see.
Because it would reference certain pages where you had to find things in order to discover what she was doing. Was she spelunking somewhere far away? And I remember Frommer's and saying.
Well, I mean, you talk about Wikipedia. I mean, just think how, I mean, when that started, like back in the 90s, I guess it was, and when my kids were just starting out back then, and the best encyclopedia, you know, online thing was Microsoft came out with Encarta.
I remember Encarta.
Remember that? Okay. Now, this was going to change the encyclopedia world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because we all had the, you know, the 30-volume sets, and now Encarta was going to be it because there was video, everything on that. Now, Wikipedia started about the same time. Look who's still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you
somebody
know, Encarta
with $1 billion
was delivered in a
couldn't
in
make
a
his Encarta go, and five guys
Encarta
in a
was,
garage.
Yeah.
Now rule, you know, encyclopedias.
Elena says that she remembers Encarta, but she was probably four.
Right.
She's probably going to send me another nasty Skype.
I see. She sent you a tweet.
Yes.
Well, I just
well, she's
back
tweeting
to
what we're talking about
right.
to all of our listeners. For those
I've
who can't catch the broadcast,
was down
live.
At South by Southwest.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
that's
last
incredible.
Week.
Incredible.
Oh, it was fun stuff, and there's a lot of interactive. So talk about tweets. You know, I was a Burning Man a couple of years ago. My son wanted to go, and so we brought us, and and that was a kick. I really loved that. But you know, Burning Man.
No.
No. This is a festival out in the woods, out in the desert, you know, in like Nevada, you know, in the middle of nowhere on Indian reservation land where 50,000 artists go, you know, at the end of summer, you know. And it's sort of like oh, what's that big rock festival back in the 60s up in New York?
Oh,
you know
something
what I mean.
Palooza.
Yeah, right. It's sort of like that.
Lollapalooza, is that
but,
right? Or no, the Lollapalooza
the,
is the new version.
I mean, there's now movies made. I mean, it was so long ago before you were born. So.
Yeah.
But it's a big, but it's an art festival. I mean, people. I mean, it's just wonderful. I mean, you're not allowed to have a.
I think that is. I think I've heard of that because I have an artist friend. And I think I'm just now putting it together where everybody kind of exchanges ideas and they can actually do live art and things like that
while
we're out
there.
Yeah,
I mean, there's big sculptures in the desert, you know, five stories high, and everyone's camping, but it's all organized. You can't have any money there, and you can't buy anything. There's probably 500 events going on at any one time. You know, people have some vehicles, but a vehicle can't go to more than 5 miles an hour, so people drive around in, like, teacups. You know, and stuff like that. I mean, it's just what half the people have no clothes on. You don't even notice, you know, after an hour. So that's why I heard about it. Since I went there, I heard about, excuse me, South by Southwest. And South by Southwest is sort of like Burning Man with clothes on plus commerce.
Yeah.
I mean, there's business going on, you know, good stuff. I mean, you know, the high-tech stuff that's there was really exciting. But talking about tweet, man, I got so many tweets and pictures. I must have taken, you know, maybe 200 pictures in a day. You know, people with iPhones and cameras and take my picture and tweet it somewhere else, and then I get, you know,
mm-hmm.
then I'll you know, Google my name on or search my name on Twits, and you see all the things. I just, you know, let's go this way. You know, it was crazy, but nice. I mean, these are art people. I usually go to a lot of high-tech meetings, but marketing type, and they're more sharky kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody trying to make a big buck off of you. You know?
But, yeah, how can I leverage this guy?
Exactly. But the Burning Man and South by Southwest is not that vibe at all. You know, there's none of that. It's more community, and like I say, I guess it's that artistic bent that is really... yeah, good. Well, Austin, you've been to Austin. That's a weird city in itself, yeah.
Oh, yeah, anyway, they're kind of artsy.
Right, exactly.
They kind of remind me of, like, Santa Fe, New Mexico, sort of.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So they appreciate weirdness as a city,
yeah.
But, you know, in Burning Man, I walk around my question mark suit, and I was like wallpaper. Nobody even noticed me because people walking around is like, dressed like giraffes and stuff.
How funny.
I was nothing, you know. You didn't even notice me in this crowd. Yeah.
Well, you know, since we're on this tech topic, as someone who has a master's in computer information systems, what do you think of all of this?
Yeah, well, I've always been into computers, and that's why, you know, because I was really publishing directories for 30 years, that was really my work. I was a consultant publishing directories and first selling them to business. I mean, like the books I sold to consumers for $20, I'd sell the same directory for $150 to business. They didn't care what it costs, you know.
Right.
And that's why I always looked at the computers. How was I going to get it there? I mean, I was a programmer and everything. And my especially was management information systems, trying to get information to top management. So I always look into computers, and you know, I thought maybe CompuServe could do it. But now, in the last 3 or 4 years, that's why I just chucked all the books and said, now it's the time. The technology is here, because I see myself as an educator. And I could educate much better online. Like here, you and I are having a radio conversation. You don't have to go broadcast, whatever. See, I mean, I do interviews like this on the web, and you know, with a government official who talks for a half hour on how to apply to their program, you know, so you don't have to trust me as a huckster telling you about these programs. You could watch a video, you know, of the government official telling you about it, you know, and that's what's neat. And then, you know, people, I mean, we got like almost 20,000 programs or something like that, and still, no matter how much you try, sort of like Google, it's hard, but through instant messenger and email and things like this, you know, we could just send you to the one place, you know. So the technology to me now is I could provide the same service that I did, you know, for consulting, holding people's hands and charging them $20,000, now we could charge them $20, you know. And that's because of technology, you know. And that's cool mm-hmm. to me.
So it
democratizes this information.
I just bought a terabyte external hard drive that is smaller than my cell phone. And to think
that
what
a terabyte is, how big is that?
It's 1,000 gigabytes.
Really? And that's as big as your cell phone?
It's smaller than
smaller
my
than
cell phone.
Phone.
I have the Google phone deal, and it's smaller than that.
Wow.
And, you know, because we have audio, so we edit
yeah.
audio, and we do video on our website, too. So those make for big files, and so you can
right.
fill up, you know, a 500-gigabyte
yeah.
hard drive fairly quick.
Oh,
and
yeah,
just ask Elena, because I upgraded her to a terabyte and a half,
mm-hmm.
and she's happy and flying
okay.
now. So it's just amazing. I mean, did you expect to see computers where they are today back
no.
when you started?
I mean, I had no idea. You know, I mean, we all grew up with the Jetsons, and we have these, you know, things. And I've always been on the, I guess because of my computer background back in the 70s, you know, like I was was coding, and I taught computer science even at the university level for a couple of years. So I always had
I programmed in BASIC. I remember
when I was eight,
we uh-huh. I was in a gifted program, and we got this thing called the PET computer.
Yeah,
where the
that.
Screen was about as big as my cell phone screen,
right.
but the computer itself took up the whole desk.
Well, I was teaching my kid BASIC at about 8 years old.
Yeah, so it's just amazing what's happened.
Yeah,
so with the internet, do you think the internet makes it easier to start a business and make money, or do you think it makes it more difficult?
No, definitely easier because, I mean, just think, you know, God, I mean, you know, being 20 years older than you, when I was, if you wanted to sell goods, let's say, you know, wanted to sell products, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, to customers, the person on the street, when I grew up in the 50s, 60s, you had to have a store.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that
Fix
was
the
it.
Order.
Right. And so it was a big investment. Now, you know, for $100, you got a website, you can sell.
Mm-hmm.
You don't even have to have the goods. Somebody else will ship and everything, you know. And so all you have
oh,
to figure out is how to get a
yeah.
customer. Pardon me?
You get somebody else to do your fulfillment and you
yeah.
just collect the
yeah,
check.
Exactly. So it all, and to me that's great because I think what people miss when they start businesses is that they worry about all the other stuff that's not important. Because the most important thing, the only important thing to me, you know, is a customer. You know, the rest is really
yeah.
detail. If you ain't got a customer, you ain't
equals revenue.
Yeah. And we worry, you know, starting businesses, anybody could give you 50 things to worry about, like your incorporation, whether you're an LLC or this or that or all that
yeah.
kind of stuff, the size of your business cards. Or, you know, and that's what I learned about two failures. I had an MBA, and I was doing it like all the – they were telling me my businesses went out of business, and I said, "Who won? The guy I bought the furniture from, the lawyers, all these kind of things." And I said, "None of that mattered, you know. And the only thing that matters, particularly when you start a business, your time is the most important thing. So if you're running around, you know, with designers and designing this and that, you know, that's a waste of time, a board of directors and everything." Man, the only thing that's important is getting a customer. So if you're not focusing as much energy as possible, I even say even registering with the government, forget that because it'll take them 3 years to find you and you'll probably be out of business then anyway. So who cares? You know?
Yeah, to collect the $5 in tax for the one thing you sold.
Exactly. And then even if you and if you're still around in 3 years, then you pay the $5 fine or $50, whatever it is. The only people you don't screw around with is the IRS. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and I learned that the hard way, and it had nothing to do with me. Somebody misreported taxes under my taxpayer ID number.
Wow.
Yeah. I was a cheerleader in high school. They're like, just refile your taxes. And I said, I don't have any taxes to file. I can't refile something I never filed.
Yeah.
And I lost big time. So they'll get their money sooner or later.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, God, yeah.
Well, so what should entrepreneurs focus on then when it comes to starting a business?
I think there are two things. I mean, I think anything you do in life is hard. You know, and that's the problem, I think. People are trying to look for an easy way to do something. And that's stupid because that's probably going to fail. If you think there's an easy way to do something, then you've talked to a salesman. That's why you believe that.
He's made it easy for you to make the decision.
Right, it's
to
easy
move
for
forward.
Him to make money if he sells you. So anything you're going to do that's going to be successful is going to be damn hard. So if that's a given, then you have to think about how are you going to handle hard. Don't, you know, most of us, you know, somebody selling you a business opportunity will tell you how to handle success. That's easy. Who the hell cares? You know, you get the money, go to the bank. You know what I mean? I remember going to these seminars, they'll tell a half a day was how to shelter your tax money and all that. What you're going to do with $1 million? Who cares? You know, that's an
take
easy problem. Yeah, that's an easy problem when you have $1 million. But getting there is hard as hell, very difficult. And so how are you going to go through difficult? And that's the issue to work on. And to me, there's a couple things. I believe that one of the basic things about getting through difficult times is having a passion for what you're doing. If you don't enjoy, if you don't think what you're doing is really important, you're going to give up and, you know, jump into another scheme, you know, because this one's hard. They're all hard. Mm-hmm. And so you have to have enough love for what you're doing, a passion, a respect that this is what you want to do in life, so you get through that crap, you know, that's going to be in front of you no matter what happens, no matter how much somebody says something is easy, it's not going to wind out that way, you know, and it's going to take effort. And I think the only way to get through those hurdles and bumps and, you know, and problems that are in the world are you got to really want to do it. Sort of like a personal relationship. You know, if you're going to go after a mate or a girlfriend or something like that just because of something superficial, she's really, you know, whatever. Yeah.
I agree with you.
Yeah, that it has to be something more basic you appreciate about that person, because we're all going to be a pain in the ass to our mates. Right?
Well, looks and love are only the beginning. You know,
exactly.
It doesn't matter how much you love someone.
Yeah.
You have to be able to create an element of understanding. You have to have, you know, some common ground. You know, opposites attract, but you have to have something that glues you together.
Right, and that's
that's seven layers deep.
Yeah,
you got to peel it back, and it's usually an onion that you're peeling back.
Right, exactly, because they're gonna and those little irritations that pull up. I mean, they're not as bad if you really want to be there. You
mm-hmm.
know, if you're there for some superficial reason, then an irritation, screw it. You know, you go to the next one. Yeah, you know? And that's why I think it's the same in business or doing something with your professional life. I mean, I see professional life and personal life. Same things, yeah. It's the same thing. I mean, you have to really want to be there to succeed, because like, just as much as personal relationships are very difficult and take a lot of energy, so you have to really want to be there to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why my first two marriages failed. I didn't realize a personal relationship took as much work as a business.
Oh, yeah. My first job is my husband, and I'm on number two. So
right, I'm on three. Yeah.
I had a starter marriage, so I can learn. I'm number four for him. So
really? He's really good at this by now.
Well, I just told him, because he's worried about, you know, being a three-time failure. And I'm like, no, honey, you were just practicing for me.
I see, right.
So I try to spin it the right way, so he's excited about that. Well, you know, this has been an incredible conversation, and I think that the thing that means so much to me is all of the stuff we've talked about is not just about money, that there's more to this lifetime and entrepreneurship and success than money. So that's really exciting. So now let's take a look and flip the switch here while we have a few more minutes left together and say, okay, so we've got the passion to get through the crap, and whether we learn from someone else's experience on how to handle the hard or difficult, or we have to do it ourselves by trial and error, we've got those two things down. Now we need resources. So tell me what kind of resources the U.S. government can give. And, you know, to sell barbecue utensils as a business is a pretty interesting thing. Give us a few more examples of specific government programs to enable people to further their entrepreneurial ideas.
Yeah, the problem with the government money programs is that there's no one place. I mean, the thing about money programs, you have to sort of like learn what's there and then learn how to make what you're doing fit the government's needs. So like when you go into, say you want to start the barbecue utensil business or something like that, well, you know, there's not going to be, even if you Google barbecue utensils in government, there is nothing. But say if you're in Arizona and you want to start a barbecue utensils business, what you have to realize is that Arizona wants you to start any kind of goddamn business. They don't care. Because they want, because if you start a business, you're going to create a job. You're going to create a job for yourself. You're going to hire some people, whatever. So that's the first place you go. You go to your state capital, you know, and they have an office called the Office of Economic Development. And Arizona has probably a half a dozen to a dozen money programs of some kind. There'll be, you know, grants or loans, tax incentives and everything for you to start anything from a home-based business to, you know, starting a windmill farm. You know, because they're interested in all those kinds of businesses, because this is how these politicians get elected. If they don't have growth and jobs, everybody's ticked off, and they don't get elected next time. And that's how the system works. And now, if and every place is different. They're even they have national programs, you have state programs, you have local programs, you have nonprofit organizations. See, so many people will call up like the Small Business Administration, say, "Hey, I want a grant for a business." Well, you know, they don't have grants. Actually, they do, but it's more in venture capital kind of money, and they'll say no, and you'll go away, and you'll think that it's wrong. But your state. I mean, depending on, like, how many jobs you're going to create, or maybe if it's just you as an individual. Like, I was talking to a massage therapist who got, like, you know, $4,000 to go back and get another certificate for her massage therapy business. So even something as small as that. Now, but, see, that's not at the SBA. That's training money at your state government. So no one would even think of calling that, because it's like what people don't realize is having a little information is dangerous. I mean, that's what I learn more and more as I get older. Man, I just don't know anything. You know, it's just too complicated. And even like now, I know the areas I work more into, like government money. I know how much I don't know, because things just happen and change every day. But if you Google those grants money, see, 80% of the free money the government gives out is not even called grants. So don't ask for a grant. You're looking for assistance. When any government agency you call and you're an entrepreneur, never say money, because, you know, you want to know what they have first, because maybe, you know, like that training money they have, but you don't even know. You know what kind of thing? Because they'll send you to a school to get that training, and they'll pick up the bill. So they're not giving you cash. So, grand, but that's worth, you know, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000. You know, so yeah. You know what's the difference? You know, kind of thing. So that's why you're an entrepreneur. You're looking for assistance. So like we talked about, even, you know, say you want to protect your invention. You know, I mean, one thing. You know, don't go to an invention company, because they're going to get $5,000, $10,000, maybe $20,000 from you when you're finished. And you could go to a state office, again, call your Office of Economic Development. There are offices in your state where they're usually like, these people get grant money from the government to help you with your invention. So they're all free. So the same thing you're going to pay thousands and thousands of dollars for, you could get for free. And I'm biased, don't trust me on this, but I think they're better, because, see, these people that get grants just to help you with your invention don't have a motive. I mean, you're in business.
There's no dog in that fight for them.
Yeah, exactly. So they're not thinking about how can I get more money from this person, become a revenue stream, you know, thinking about what's the next thing they're going to sell you.
Well, here's the starter program, but then you can buy into the platinum level.
Right, exactly. See, that way. Yeah, you know, we're all smart enough to, you know, if we're in business, to have things like that. But see, these free things don't. all their mission is to help you because you live there. That's the only reason. Yeah. And the problem with that is that they don't advertise. So you'll see advertisements on TV, you know, inventors wanted, you know, just call this 800 number, you know. And as you say, you know, to be on TV, you got to spend money. And so to spend money, they got to get money from you.
No question. Well, it sounds like flexibility is probably a key word for entrepreneurs.
Absolutely.
Because they have to be flexible and not just specifically ask for money, but look for
assistance. That's why the question marks many different.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we live in an information society. The answers are out there for anything. You have to know the questions to ask. That's more important than the answers. The answers are easy now. You go on Google and get a million answers to anything. You got to ask the right questions, and we don't know that because it's too complicated out there. You know? So that's
exactly.
Why be flexible, you know, and have an open mind and start doing your homework.
Well, I have one last question for you, and that is, how can anyone go find you on the web to take advantage of the resources that you have compiled over the years?
Yeah, well, actually, my accountant said we got a problem. We have a tax problem, so we're not, you know, we're trying not to sell anything more this year, you know, because of the tax issue. So I prefer if they wait. No, I'm teasing.
What?
Lesko, it's Lesko.com, Lesko.com.
Lesko.com. Well,
yeah, and if you do anything, look at the free videos. I got a couple hundred free videos there, so you could watch that government official who will help you with your invention. You know, they're there. You watch it. Or the guy will give you $8,000 to train for something. You can watch them tell you, hey, yeah. We do this stuff, yeah. Or actually, there's a lot of entrepreneurs that tell you how they got, like, invention money, you know, from the government and how they did it. So, and all those videos are free. It's really, you know, to me, it's about education and trying to figure out how to make money out of it, too, so I can stay around and keep doing it.
Great. Well, thank you so much. It's been such an honor to meet you and a pleasure to talk with you. And I look forward to your continued success. I'm going to keep my eye in your direction. We have so much more in store coming up on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio and the Keys to Riches in the second hour. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned for the second half of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio with the Keys to Riches, right after this.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coca Brown, on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching can be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation, 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95. at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally.
Even in today's economy, I, Count Dracula, have had to foreclose on my castle. But because of Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio, I have not only reacquired my castle, but I have opened a resort for the undead. Tune in to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. She's the only one not trying to suck you dry.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your purveyor of prosperity, and I am so elated that we got a chance to hang out with the question mark suited guy, Matthew Lesko. And I don't know about you guys as listeners, but I was pleasantly surprised about the direction the interview went. I totally did not expect that direction. So I hope you guys enjoyed that interview as much as I did. I'm totally stoked I got to meet him. I'm so impressed with what he gave us. I feel like that, you know, obviously his website has all kind of great stuff on it. But I think his entrepreneurial tips were right on the money. And he was spot on with his advice. And so if you are not a premium member at unlockyourwealth.com, you should seriously consider it because all of these hot sheets go into the premium membership side. And these are all notes that I take during the interviews. And, you know, knowing to go, how to ask the right questions, how to be passionate to get yourself through the crap, and how to be flexible and open to things. Those are really intangible kind of tools and information that I didn't expect to come from Matthew's wisdom after all of these years of researching government programs. And how nice. I mean, he almost sounded kind of a little bit jaded. Yeah, the money is great and all that stuff is there, but if those things aren't there, you can't do it. And how interesting an observation that he made that he had an MBA and he couldn't figure out how to put a business together. So sometimes you can know too much. So I thought that that was super exciting. Plus, I think that that's renewed hope for those of us who haven't graduated college, like myself included. I am not a college graduate. And if you had struggled to get out of high school and you have had challenges in your lifetime, you know, I had to drop out of college so I could take care of my mother. I mean, things like that. Maybe your life has had some sort of conflict and challenges. Wouldn't it be great if you could find a few bucks to help you get some training to maybe create another level of professionalism for you or pursue a passion that you have and but you don't have the resources to do that? What great advice. I'm so excited. I hope you folks download and save this interview and listen to it because I'm sure that there are so many more gems that I didn't happen to get out of Matthew while he was on. But remember, his website is lesko.com. How super interesting. Oh my gosh, I'm totally stoked about that. But how about some minutes on your money? CNNmoney.com says companies raise prices on food, shoes, and diapers. Look out, from Huggies diapers to Nike shoes, Americans are about to get less bang for their buck on some of the biggest brands. This week, paper products maker Kimberly-Clark announced plans to raise prices on diapers and toilet paper later this summer. Nike said it would increase prices on their shoes, and food companies Kraft, Smucker's, and Heinz recently announced price hikes on some of their brands. According to a Kimberly-Clark press release, the increases are necessary to offset inflationary pressure from higher raw material and energy costs. Huggies diapers and pull-ups prices will rise by 3-7%, the company said. Cottonelle and Scott 1000 toilet paper will rise about 7%. Kraft Food raised its prices on Maxwell House coffee by 22%. Or 70 cents a pound. Schmuckers says that last month that they would raise the price of Folgers by 10%. These increases come as major brands struggle to keep their profit margins intact amid surging costs on raw materials. Producer prices rose 1.6% in February alone, which is the biggest jump in nearly 2 years, according to the government data released Wednesday. Until recently, producers and retailers resisted price hikes, fearing they would lose customers during a still sluggish economy and high unemployment. And now they're caving, mainly on non-discretionary goods, where they still feel they have some pricing power. Sticker prices on necessities like food and gas, for example, have surged over the last year. Gas is up 11%, and food prices are up almost 2.5%. Now, according to Mark Vittner, Wells Fargo senior economist says, we're at a point now where it's harder for companies to avoid raising prices. Prices are rising, and for most things we buy most frequently. This is an inflationary cost. I mean, it's not just because of the turmoil and social unrest with energy prices going up. Our dollar is buying less because you can't print it without any economic basis for that. But that's just my personal opinion. How about renew your lease? Rents could rise 10%. Reuters says double-digit rent hikes may be coming soon. Vacancy rates have dipped below the 10% mark where they have been lodged for most of the past 3 years. The demand for rental housing has already started to increase. Peggy Alford, president of Rent.com, says young people are starting to get rid of their roommates and move out of their parents' basements. By 2012, she predicts the vacancy rate will hover at a mere 5%, and with fewer units on the market, prices will explode. Rent hikes have averaged less than 1% a year over the past decade, according to the Commerce Department statistics. Adjusted for inflation, now Alford expects rent to spike 7% or more in just the next 2 years, to a national average that will top $800 in the hottest rental markets. The increases will likely top the 10% mark annually for the next couple of years, according to Leslie Deutsch of John Burns Real Estate Consulting in San Diego. She anticipates rents will increase more than 31% by 2015. 30 also for Seattle, Boston, and other cities. It's a sharp change from the recession where many Americans couldn't afford to live on their own. More than 1.2 million young adults moved back in with their parents over the last 5 years, and many others have doubled up together. As a result, landlords had to reduce prices and offer big incentives to snag renters. This was because of the low interest rates, and it was, for a while, cheaper to buy and own than it was to rent. But with no money down and adjustable rate mortgages that flexed upwards at their ARM adjustment period after 3 or 5 years is what's caused a lot of this. And what we're seeing now is interest rates are still remaining low, but because qualifying has changed, people still can't really afford to buy. So if you are looking to lease or are in a lease, I would renegotiate and lock in your rate for the next couple of years if you know you're not going anywhere and you know you're not buying anytime soon as well. So that's something you need to know. Now, Associated Press says Libya's ceasefire and the yen plan to pull stocks higher. Okay, so from AP, Associated Press, the ceasefire announced by government forces in Libya and an international plan to bring the yen down from historic highs pushed stocks higher in afternoon trading yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial gained more than 100 points in its fourth straight day of large swings. Stocks rose across the board. The 30 that make up the Dow average rose. The only ones that didn't, McDonald's, JP Morgan, Chase, and Caterpillar. The world's seven largest industrialized countries announced that they would intervene in currency markets to lower the value of the yen. Japan's currency has soared since an earthquake struck the country a week ago and caused devastating tsunami waves and damage to several nuclear plants. A stronger yen could lead to a slowdown in Japan's export-driven economy by making its goods more expensive overseas. Japan is the world's third largest economy after the U.S. and China and accounts for 10% of U.S. exports. Tokyo's benchmark Nikkei index closed almost 3% higher after the announcement from the Group of Seven Nations late Thursday. Now, the Dow Jones gained 139 points to just under 12,000. It was the fourth day the index moved more than 100 points in either direction, so still experiencing volatility. S&P rose 1%, and financial stocks rose 1.5%, and most of any of the 10 company groups that make up the index, after several large banks announced that they were increasing dividends. J.P. Morgan said that it was increasing its dividend to 25 cents a share, up from a nickel. Wells Fargo and U.S. Bank Corp. also raised their dividends. Oil prices fell, and Nike, Inc. fell 9% after their earnings came in below what analysts were expecting. Nike said rising costs would cut into its profits over the second half of the year, even though sales may increase. That's your stock market report. And now I want to talk to you for one moment before we get into our key for this week about Atlas Shrugged Part 1. So I have been patiently awaiting a movie for this book that I have read every year for the last 30 years. I feel like I am intimately involved with these characters, and I feel like I know them on such a personal level that in my mind I had them mentally cast already in a certain fashion, and I felt like I knew who could play each character very well. And so the movie is due out on April 15th, but I got to say, I think from the trailers that I've seen, I don't know. I don't know if they got the casting right. That's kind of one of my things. I would love to hear from you if you're a regular Atlas Shrugged aficionado. There's been some discussion on Facebook with some friends because they're not having the opening here in Phoenix, so I can't imagine why they wouldn't do that because we have so many Randians here. However, they've chosen several cities throughout the United States to open up the movie. Taylor Schilling plays Dagny Taggart, and she wasn't the original one that they had cast or had tentative commitments for. And I was interested only because in the other character, only because I thought she brought an interesting dynamic that could have been more like Dagny, but I don't see it in the trailer, so I'm going to reserve final judgment until after I see the movie, which comes out tax day, April 15th. But I think that person is cast wrong. I think Hank Reardon, is too young. I think he needed to be older, or at least look older. And I don't think they got the right guy for Francisco. I feel like even though Francisco is an international playboy, I don't think he looks like one. But I would love to hear your comments. So if you would share your Atlas Shrugged comments, please send me an email to atlas@unlockyourwealthradio.com. If we feature your comments on next week's show, you will win a copy of Bushido Business personalized to you or someone you would like to give the book to. So that's kind of all I have to say about Minutes on Your Money. We have so much more in store coming up for you. We have our Millionaire Minute, as well as this week's key, Practicing the Three R's. All that coming up on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. I am she, your money mentor, saying stay tuned for more right after this.
Hey, this is Coca Brown from the hit radio show, The Truth with Coca Brown on HollywoodOutlaws.com radio. And you're listening to me on Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio.
Hi, it's Marty Logan here from the Top Gun Sales Academy. You know, one thing I've learned over the years is that the most successful people in life have coaches to guide them along their chosen path. Naturally, Wayne Gretzky, Michael Jordan, Tony Stewart, Tom Hopkins, and Robert Kiyosaki all had coaches. Whether it was their father, someone else's father, or another person who helped them to shape their desires into an achievable path to success with a system of accountability where quitting was the only way to fail. Each of these people had someone who didn't see them as they first were, but as the person inside. They knew they could easily become. Truly, financial coaching could be the single addition you need to become financially independent. Call the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation now for your free consultation. 1-866-966-9420. That toll-free number again is 1-866-966-9420, or simply visit us on the web at www.unlockyourwealth.com.
Like, has your cell phone or iPod ever totally run out of battery before? Maybe you're somewhere without power, like fishing, camping, or the beach. Now you can have all the power you need. The K3 Charger by Kinesis Industries uses wind and sun to charge your devices anytime, day or night. Use the wind and sun to store up charging power or charge your device right on the spot. Available now for $99.95 at www.kinesisindustries.com. That's Kinesis, K-I-N-E-S-I-S, industries.com. Like, go there, totally.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to Heather Wagenhall's Unlock Your Wealth Radio. What an exciting day we have had. Wow, so excited. Great guests, good info, good news stories. It's another spectacular show. I'm so excited. So today's key in the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness series is practicing the three R's. So for those of you who are joining us for the first time, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you so much for joining us at unlockyourwealth.com. And for those of you who are unfamiliar with this segment in our show, the Keys to Riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that not only teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money, but also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, reduce debt, save and invest, building wealth, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. And we do this each and every week, one week at a time, one key at a time. And we are on the 12th key in our baker's dozen. And we are at practicing the three R's, review, revise, and recommit. So for a moment, let's just take a little trip down memory lane and talk about what it is that we've been doing over the last 90 days for those of you who joined us at the beginning of the season. So our very first episode this season was all about acceptance and affirmation, making that first step, realizing that, hey, I've got a problem financially and I don't know what I'm doing, or I don't know what I'm doing and I need to know what I'm doing so I don't make mistakes, or perhaps I don't know what I'm doing and I've made mistakes and I need to fix those so I don't keep repeating them. In any case, wherever you may have been on that spectrum, you had to make the decision that in order to change something, I have to recognize it's there. So we accepted that we have money management issues. And then because of the fabulous programming our parents and peers do to us when we are growing up and we're impressionable skulls full of mush, we make these patterns and assumptions. And so we possibly don't believe internally that we are capable of making lasting change in our lives. So we start with the affirmation process. Through repeated exposure, crafting specific affirmations that help us get our mind where it needs to be to position ourselves so we can successfully manage our money and overcome whatever the issues are that are keeping us from doing that currently. It's not brain surgery to know that we should spend less and save more, but something stops us from it. So what we need to do is start first convincing ourselves that our goals are worthy of our time, that we are capable, because then we're going to go, as we proceed through the keys, and change and redirect some of those behaviors that are not benefiting us currently, because neurolinguistic programming tells us that we have all the resources necessary to accomplish anything we desire. We just may not have them organized in a fashion that is benefiting us currently. So what we're going to do is we're going to restructure our behavior patterns. So it's pretty exciting. And learn how to manage our money effectively all at the same time. So our second key was to take action and make assessment. And we do this organically because we can't make changes to our finances until we know where the money is going. And most of us think we know where the money is going, but we don't always know specifically or how much and in what direction it's going. But additionally, money goes places at certain times for specific reasons, and we spend differently throughout the pay cycle, and we spend differently throughout the month. And what we need to do is identify what we're spending and when, so we can attack the patterns that potentially are sabotaging us financially and keeping us from our true success. So we start with this organic assessment. That's the first thing that we do when we take action. We start our organic assessment over the next few weeks, and we don't do anything but just monitor what's going on. Then we have our dreams with deadlines. This is our third key. This is where the fun begins, because this is where we consider everything that's possible in our lives and what it is that we truly desire. And we figure out in a systematic fashion how we can accomplish that. Nothing is beyond our reach without a strategy. And hope is not a strategy. And so we learn specifically how to identify what it is that we truly desire, and then we create a system for obtaining that. Now, our next key is hope for the best, plan for the worst. And we hope for the best. We always want things to be as fabulous as we desire, but we all know that life happens to us and around us. And as a result of that, we have to have a fallback. The only thing to fear is fear itself. And fear comes from the unknown. So what we need to do in this key is explore what it is that we don't know, or what we feel like the most catastrophic event is, and create a strategy for it. And when we have that in place, it allows us to focus solely on plan A, because there isn't going to be a failure, so to speak, because we have all these contingency plans. If this happens, then we do this. And the likelihood is significantly reduced because you're prepared for it. That takes out a lot of the guesswork, so you can successfully focus on your dreams and deadlines. Then we learn how to take emotion out of the picture. And we learn how to dissociate our emotions and keep our passions in perspective when it comes to money management. We want to be excited and enthusiastic about making it, but we want to be reserved and detached when it comes to allocating it. So we learn how to allocate more effectively, because we're emotional creatures, and we justify with reason and logic after the fact. It doesn't work the other way around. And that's why most financial plans fail, because they don't take that into consideration. And they expect us to be reasonable and dissociated, and that's just not the way we're wired. So then we learn that knowledge is power, and not knowing is powerful. And what we do is we learn what it is that we should know about money and decide, do I need to become an expert in this? Do I need just a working knowledge so I can delegate it effectively? Because what you don't know can hurt you. And this goes hand in hand with hope for the best and plan for the worst. Identifying resources that you may need. And you don't have to become an expert. Nobody asks you to write legal contracts. That's what attorneys are for. But you have to identify where the financial weaknesses are in your plan, and then we need to fill those appropriately. Then we take and we break our budget. And this is where we get rid of the roller coaster of budgeting, just like dieting, and we create a healthy savings and spending plan, and we move forward. Then we have learned, after we create this, not to make seasonal exceptions, because we can use that to justify crazy expenditures after we've just analyzed our spending habits and worked to create new options for ourselves. So once we get there, we have to make sure that we're not justifying bad behavior because it's a seasonal event or a special occasion. And we can plan for those. Most special occasions and seasonal events have timelines where you can allocate enough resources if necessary. But we use common courtesy manners and etiquette to appropriately address how much we should spend, if we should spend, and what is the appropriate way to respond to these special events and occasions, that we can make an appropriate response without jeopardizing our financial future. So that's a pretty cool deal. Then we learned how to analyze our credit and create our credit. Then we learned how to structure our credit for real estate investment and our savings and spending plan and our overall financial objectives to be in line with real estate investment, one of the fastest ways that we can have someone else build our wealth for us. And then we learned how to forget the perfection principle and remember that this is a process. It's not a game with an end. Okay, and because the target is constantly moving, sometimes we can make mistakes in the best of circumstances or scenarios. Again, we're emotional creatures, so we can be overwhelmed, but there's no point in beating ourselves up about it. So we learn how to forgive ourselves for any transgressions against our new savings and spending plan and continue to move forward. And now we reinforce that with today's key of practicing the three R's. And once we get back from our commercial break, we are going to talk about specifically what those three R's are and how we can use them to create the ideal long-term savings and spending plan to be successful. And this is where budgets and diets fail, and this is the key to the castle. So we'll be back with practicing the three R's on Heather Wagenhaus Unlock Your Wealth Radio right after this.
Are you a referral partner of the Unlock Your Wealth radio program? Would you like to promote your products and your services on our show? Learn about the benefits that our featured advertisers receive being part of an exclusive program where the listeners are seeking financial independence and are in need of your insurance, finance, real estate, and investment services. Call now at 1-866-966-9420. 1-866-966-9420. Reach the people who need your help the most with the Unlock Your Wealth radio show today.
Have you seen commercials for agencies that want to charge you a fee to settle your debt? Did you wonder if you could trust them? My name is Kenny Goldie, and I'm here to tell you don't need to pay anyone to settle your credit card debt. You can call your bank directly and do it yourself for free. How do I know? I did it. I reduced my own credit card debt from over $200,000 to zero, and I want to tell you how in my book, The Do-It-Yourself Bailout. Visit SettleYourCreditCards.com. My readers have settled nearly $1 million in credit card debt by themselves, no agencies, no fees, and you can too. Go to SettleYourCreditCards.com and read The Do-It-Yourself Bailout.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. You are listening to The Keys to Riches on Heather Wagenhaus to Unlock Your Wealth Radio. And it is time to practice our three R's. Now, I mentioned that this is the stopgap. This is the be-all, end-all. This is what allows the savings and spending plan to endure ad infinitum. And it is where the dieting and the budgeting fail. And this is where you can take your savings and spending plan to the next level and constantly be on the right track. And it's about practicing these three R's: review, revise, and recommit. And it's convenient that we are here at review, revise, and recommit on the 12th key, because we have had a chance this whole time, for almost the last 90 days, to build systematically our money mind. We've worked to get our money mind right, to identify those loops, hang-ups, and issues, and close that gap. And then we've created specific techniques with the information we discerned from our organic assessment to create a healthy savings and spending plan. And what do we know about healthy savings and spending plans? Well, we know that we have the hope for the best, plan for the worst key. Because while we want to be optimistic about where we're headed in our future, we must be realistic and know that life can take us off our game. It could be a temporary setback, or it can be a permanent change to your life. In either case, we must be prepared to make modifications when and where necessary. Because what you started out doing may be ineffective or detrimental to the new set of circumstances you have. Now, do not think that your initial savings and spending plan was all for nothing and say, oh, great, well, now this happened, and now I can't do what it was. That's not the case at all. We created the savings and spending plan based on the information available at the time. And you must remember and have confidence in the fact that every decision we make is the right decision because it takes us to the next right decision we have to make. And that's where the review, revise, and recommit comes in. At the 90-day mark, okay, so you're going to do this quarterly, and this will be your first one for those of you who have been working throughout the whole season to get here, that this is our first review. So what we're going to do is take our money management ledger and we're going to go through and do our quarterly review, revise, and recommit. Because if you remember, we take three pictures: where I'm at, where I'm going, and what's the difference. And so now we're going to take our quarterly snapshot of where I'm at, where I'm going, and what's the difference. So over the last 90 days, have things worked? First question you ask yourself, have things worked? If yes, then we go to the next question. If things have worked, has anything changed? So perhaps you lost some hours at work. Perhaps you were in an accident and you broke your leg and you have to stand all day at work and you can't quite stand anymore. Or perhaps that someone in your family became seriously ill and you're the only person that can be a caregiver at this time until they get back on their feet. Maybe someone else in your family has had a serious accident or illness that you must tend to. So if have things worked out so far and the answer is yes, and has anything changed and the answer is no, are your goals still the same is the next question. If your goals are still the same, nothing's changed in that respect, you still want and are desirous of the things that you have set forth in your dreams with deadlines, then guess what? You're done with the review process. There's nothing necessary for you to do on the revise process. And all you have to do is focus on the recommit, which we'll get to shortly. So let's go through the questions again and answer differently. Have things worked? And you answer no. If your savings and spending plan has not worked, what hasn't worked? And specifically, why? So perhaps you did not allocate enough resources for groceries, or perhaps you did not allocate enough resources or had some unexpected expenditures and there wasn't enough money in your emergency fund because you just started compiling that to cover it and maybe you had to make a charge. Okay. So what happened and why? So were these just simple planning and mathematical errors or is there something larger at play if it hasn't worked? Okay. So if anything has changed that precipitated whether or not that original plan worked, like a catastrophic event to either you or someone you know that requires a response, and that answer is yes, the next question is this change in my life temporary or permanent? Is this a temporary or permanent change? If it is a temporary change, for how long? How long are you going to be required to care for someone else or yourself that you'll be laid up? Because then you can make some quick crisis management changes using our Help with Money series, and you can use these techniques to rework temporarily your savings and spending plans to account for whatever it is. An interruption in income is usually what it is. So you can tweak things in the revised portion. If it is a permanent change, like a permanent disability, you have to take on the care of an indigent parent, you have a child with special needs, perhaps your income-producing spouse or significant other has had an interruption in income due to an injury or disability that is permanent. So if you answer, is it a temporary change or a permanent change? Temporary change, you go to the crisis management. If it's a permanent change, how is that permanent change affecting your goals? Okay. Are your goals still realistic for where you are? If they are still realistic, but perhaps you have to extend the timelines, that's an option. Yes, I can still get my goals, but as a result of this change in my life, I'm going to have to stretch out the timeline for acquisition of those items. I'm going to have to wait a little longer to get those things, because I'm going to have to put my money in another area. I have to reallocate resources that I was using to save for this one goal. I'm going to have to change my goals up a little bit and extend them on the timeline. I can keep the same goals. I could just get them later versus sooner. So after you ask that question, if the answer is no, my goals cannot be the change, be the same, I must augment the goals too. This is what we do in our revision phase after we've identified these things. So what you have to do is, as you've answered these questions, you need to know, am I making a savings and spending plan revision? Am I making a dreams with deadlines revision? Or am I making a revision to both? So is it one or the other or both? And then after you figure out I have to make one, the other, or both, we can move forward and make those revisions. So if it's just tweaking your budget, I didn't set enough aside for groceries or educational expenditures were more than what I thought, but since I set aside all this extra money for recreation and entertainment and I'm actually not using that, I could just move that over and voila. Simple tweaks to the savings and spending plan, totally great. I have wiped out my emergency fund. And the next step is I have to go to credit cards if I have another emergency fund. So I'm going to go out to eat one less time, and I'm going to walk or ride my bike to work or carpool with a friend. and figure out a way to save money so I can rebuild my emergency fund. So I'm going to re-strategize and tighten the belt and find creative ways that are less expensive than what I'm spending now to do the same things or just change up the amount of time that I allow for those items. And we do this, if you remember, when we created our savings and spending plan to be successful, because we know that budgeting and dieting requires sacrifice or starvation. And we're not saying give up something to get something else. We're saying I can have this at this time on this plan with this strategy. And so all we have to do is change up the strategy. So maybe we change up the frequency or the amounts that we're spending so we can refill that emergency fund. So the next thing that we need to think about is, okay, I can tweak my savings and spending plan, and then we'll see how that works for the next 90 days. That's great. Now, if we have to tweak our goals because maybe I'm going to be bound to my home for a while, either on the temporary or permanent thing, and I'm going to be bound to my home because I have to care for either myself, who got injured or have a disability, or I have to care for someone else. So if it's a temporary thing, all we have to do with our goals is stretch out our deadlines. Isn't that great that we can do that? It's totally great. So many people crush themselves and beat themselves up emotionally. They're like, oh, my God, I got this goal, and I'm not going to make it. Well, what you need to do is not set yourself up for failure. It's not that you're not going to make it. Just extend your deadline. Change your deadline for that specific goal that you would like to achieve. And then, hey, guess what? You didn't fail. You're still on track for success of that goal. So many people get so hung up in the rigidity of the calendar and the deadline that they forget that all hope doesn't have to be lost if we just augment the strategy. So if you just keep listening, you're going to hear a recurrent theme. Change the strategy, you'll change your results. So all we have to do is extend those timelines out to make them more achievable given our current or our new set of financial information. So either that's a temporary change that we have to make because we or someone else is injured and we have to care for them. Now what we have to do is think about, all right, we have to make a permanent change. Is this goal still realistic for me? So if you were saying, I want to travel around the world and I want to take, you know, 3 months to do it, maybe perhaps that's not in the cards for next summer. If you have, an indigent person you're caring for or a special needs child that is either going to change your income or the income of your family in such a way that that might not be realistic. So perhaps we might have to abandon a goal. And that's okay if we're good with that and we can create a goal that will give us the same benefit in a different way. So perhaps we can't take that trip around the world for thousands of dollars, but maybe for a couple $100, you can rent or buy DVDs or books that will create that same sensory experience while you're caring for this loved one or yourself. And there is another possibility that we haven't talked about yet that most people aren't aware of. And we can work within the resources we have, and or we can brainstorm and add additional resources. How cool is that? So perhaps you have to stay at home and care for somebody. That doesn't mean you don't have to work. You can create a new income stream with a work-at-home opportunity. Maybe if you like kids and you're caring for an indigent parent or a special needs child, maybe you could babysit others and have a little mini daycare. Or perhaps you like an online business. Maybe you like to listen to great lectures and things. Maybe you can become a transcriptionist for a university lecturer. So you get to learn and earn. we can add resources too. So we don't necessarily have to abandon our goals. Perhaps we could take that person that we're caring for on this trip. We just have to financially prepare to pay for one more person and any additional staff that might need to go to maintain the health and wellness of this particular person, whether it's a special needs person or an indigent parent. Maybe you can expand your goal. This is the beauty of the savings and spending plan, because it's not set in stone, and it is a process. It's not an end game kind of zero-sum, win or lose type scenario. This can be win-win for everyone on every level. And that's what I love about this. So, after we make our revisions, or if we were lucky in the review phase and didn't have to, in either case, this third leg of the practicing the three R's is vitally important. And the reason why it is so important for you to recommit is because financial planning and creating a life for yourself financially to accomplish your hopes, dreams, goals, and desires is not always tangible. It's more of a figurative thing, a sense of financial security. It's not always something you can pick up and touch and feel, like you wanted this bronze sculpture that your friend made and you had to save up money to get it. You can touch and feel that, okay? And so you can go visit that sculpture at the gallery until you can afford to buy it, reinforcing that desire for that goal, recommitting to that goal. But financial independence is kind of not so that way. Financial freedom is less tangible. It's more abstract. You can't really touch and feel it unless you go out to your investment properties and touch and feel those, unless you look over and handle the stock certificates that you're invested in. It's a state of being. When we think of financial freedom and financial security. And because this is a process and not an end game, you know, we have in our patterning and our processes, as we talk throughout the season about neuro-linguistic programming, and how do you know when you have achieved your goal? So because it's so abstract and intangible, we must recommit ourselves with that same passion and fire and enthusiasm when we designed our dreams with deadlines to begin with. We have to have that same sensory experience, especially if you had to make some heart-wrenching revisions because your life has been materially altered and you're dealing with emotions. Again, we're emotional creatures, and you're dealing with emotions that you have to delay your desires in order to care for someone else. And that is so, so tough when you're dealt an emotionally devastating blow. But we can't let that get to us. We still need to stay focused and excited about our goals. And now that we've done our review and potential revision, we've got to recommit ourselves using those same sensory techniques that we did in the third week when we came up with our dreams with deadlines to attach the passion and emotion that will reengage us. And this is even more important than the other two combined. Because what did Matthew talk about in his interview in the first hour? It doesn't matter about being able to do things with your goals once you've achieved them. The key is, how do I stay committed through the tough times? You can worry about how to shelter $1 million worth of income when you get $1 million. But right now, you got to be focused on how do we get to whatever it is that our goal is. And if something derails us, especially if it's something that's beyond our control, It wasn't like we were water skiing or cliff jumping and broke our own leg. We can punish ourselves for that. But what if life deals us a blow? What if you have a parent that gets Alzheimer's? What if you find out your child is autistic? You know, you don't have anyone to blame. You can't point fingers. And so there's no ability to go through like a grief process and resolve that. And if we don't recommit to our goals, we're going to resent that person or experience for materially altering our lives and our life plan. So that's why we need to recommit to our goals. That's why it's important to revise our goals, make them realistic for the new information we have about what's changed and whether it's temporary or permanent. And we must go back to that same sensory experience and reinvigorate ourselves and recommit ourselves to those financial goals, because without that, we're going to be lost. We're going to be lost. We're going to do a myriad of things, become emotional, stressed out. But worst off, we're going to resent people. And we don't want to hold hostilities to those that we love just because we have to care for them and we didn't plan or expect for them. So that is this week's key. For our nuts and bolts for this week's key in practicing the three R's, review, revise, and recommit, our key statement is, I know that in order to preserve the longevity of my healthy savings and spending plan, to ensure the accomplishment of my dreams with deadlines, I must quarterly review, revise, and recommit. Our key affirmation for this week is, I am great at reconciling my finances. Say them before you go to bed so your subconscious mind can work all night on creating new neural pathways to bring these affirmations into reality. Say them first thing when you get up in the morning so you can focus your conscious mind on your higher purpose of the day, which is achieving financial freedom for you and your family. And anytime you encounter negativity throughout the day, because what we think about, we bring about. And we want to be focused on the things that we want and can bring into our lives instead of the negativity and parade raining that people will bring into our lives because they're jealous because we're doing what we want to do when we want to do it. And then our key action item is to go to our website and download our featured strategy and go through those questions we just talked about at unlockyourwealth.com, and we are going to review our finances, make revisions where and when necessary, and then recommit ourselves to our dreams with deadlines. So you got to pull out your dreams with deadlines, and you got to get your money management ledger out, and you need to start looking at where we are, where we came from. And we also want to check on, if we are in a debt elimination phase, how much we've accomplished. And we want to pat ourselves on the back if we are one less dollar in debt or we are one more dollar in our savings. Even if you miss the mark on what your goals were, it's okay. It's about the progress on the process, and we learned that last week. So we want to focus on the progress of the process. So for one less dollar in debt, and we've got one more dollar saved than we had in the last 90 days, pat yourself on the back. Physically, I'm serious. I'm sticking my arm up in the air. I'm reaching around, and I need more yoga because I'm tight. And I'm patting myself on the back. And you need to do that too, because you have come so far in the last 90 days. For those that have spent time with us this whole season, I'm so proud of you. And you should be proud of yourselves and know that your life can be whatever you desire it to be. And with a strategy in place, everything is achievable. I want to thank you, our wonderful, committed listeners, for joining us. I want to thank Matthew Lesko for dropping by and giving us all of his wisdom. Visit his website, lesko.com. And if you don't have a chance to write down that, never fear. Unlock Your Wealth Radio is here, because go to unlockyourwealth.com, and you can click through to his website and get all his goodies. Plus, be sure to claim your key membership and begin your path to financial freedom and get all of our goodies. Thanks so much for stopping by. I'm so excited that you chose to give up your sunny Saturday to be a part of our show. And finally, financial freedom can be yours at www.unlockyourwealth.com. I'm Heather Wagenhals for Unlock Your Wealth Radio, saying thank you so much for joining us, and you go out and make it Millionaire's Day.